Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So we went on a family holiday to a warm tropical destination. And even though none of us had ever snorkeled before, I decided that all of us were going to snorkel. And so I bought snorkel gear for all of us. And how do you even practice snorkeling when you're from Melbourne? It's the middle of winter. I mean, do you snorkel in the bathtub? I don't know. You can't practice and get it right before you go. You just got to take the gear and go. And so, but it was all okay. We got on the holiday and our snorkeling went perfectly. And we saw all these amazing fish. I mean, fish all shapes and sizes and colours. And I mean, it was just amazing. And I found my new favourite thing to do, and that's to chase fish. I love chasing fish. Let's just make it clear, not to harm them or hurt them or even catch them. No, I just want to see how close I can get to them and maybe swim with them. And so I spent most of my time chasing fish. And out of all of the fish in the ocean that we encountered on this holiday, there was one fish that got my attention. And not just because he was so socially engaging or he had this feisty little attitude, but because of where he had made his home. Take a look at this. Yes, every time I got too close, he would wave his tail at me. He was territorial. He was aggressive. And you can't hear it, but he's actually yelling at me. He's yelling at me to get away. I mean, what is a fish doing in a letterbox? But then it begs the question, what is a letterbox doing in the ocean? Yeah? But you put those two things together, the fish and the letterbox, and you've got, I don't know, a Dr. Seuss book. Or something like that. What in the world is that combination? You know, I can imagine that at the start of this little expedition, this feisty fish thought that this situation worked for him on some level. At first, he may have been the talk of all of his fishy friends with his swanky new pad. I mean, it was safe, it was secure from the big fish who may have wanted to eat him. But instead of being free to roam the ocean, he was now confined in every which way. What had once been a place of comfort and security to him, well, now it was just hard work. I mean, he had to guard his territory, and as cute as he looked, he was grumpy and he was aggressive, and he couldn't even rummage and enjoy the smorgasbord of the ocean because he was limited to the food that were on the walls around about him, and he couldn't ever leave because he had to stay and defend. This little fish, who was designed to swim and explore the wide ocean, is now stuck and going nowhere. And as absurd as it is for a fish who's been created in purpose to swim the ocean to live in a letterbox, it's just as crazy for us as believers to settle in places of limitation when we're called to live in freedom. Amen? I don't know whether last year for you was a great year or whether it was a year that you'd rather forget. But whether you're believing for an even better year this year or whether you're believing still for your breakthrough, I believe that God wants to bring you into wide open spaces today where you would see the suddenlies of heaven become your reality for your life. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 5 says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because our master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same time that he's already thrown open his door to us, and we find ourselves standing where we'd always hoped to stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and his glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. I mean, wide open spaces. I love this because I don't believe for a minute that we ever set out in life for the letterbox to be our destination. We don't. We don't fall in love. Ooh, la la. We don't get married to end up in the letterbox. You thought I was going to say the doghouse, but letterbox. We set out to live the dream, don't we? I mean, to study, to launch into our career, to have some fun along the way, to get that dream job, to fall in love, to get married, have kids, start that business. But along the way, whether it's through our choices or whether it's circumstances beyond our control, we find ourselves stuck in that small place with walls of limitation all around about us, stuck in mindsets and habits and addictions, feeling hemmed in from every side, fearing the future and not having hope for what's to come. Anyone? Anyone relate? Because I wonder whether sometimes we find ourselves in the letterbox or if we find that actually the letterbox is in us, is in our thinking, is in our attitudes, is in our mindsets, which is why Paul says in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." I love that he says it is. He doesn't say it was for freedom, meaning the past tense. He says it is, meaning it is today. For you, that you would know Christ's freedom, that he has come to set you free. It is for you today. It's current. It's accessible for you and I today to live in his freedom. And so he says to us, stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You know, when Jesus came to earth through his ministry and his accomplished work on the cross, he broke every box of expectation. He broke every box of limitation. He broke every box of confinement. I mean, think about it. The Jews expected their Messiah to enter with the fanfare of royalty, but Jesus came in the form of a baby, born not in a five-star hotel as you would expect a king, the savior of all mankind, but born in a humble stable. He confounded the religious teachers and the leaders of the day. I mean, he broke rules of culture. He offended mindsets. He healed on the Sabbath day. He touched lepers. He spoke with women. He ate with sinners. Then he died and rose again. He broke all the laws of sin and death. Can someone get excited this morning? Because through his broken body, we have wholeness, and through his stripes, we are healed today. He broke every box of limitation, of poverty, of lack, of sickness, of hopelessness, of addiction. He broke every stronghold. And so it is today for freedom that Christ has set you and I free. Can someone say amen? So good. I don't know about you. I apologize if I'm getting a little bit passionate about this, because this preached to me before I'm preaching it to you. Jesus broke every box that could ever hold us, whether it be in our circumstances, whether it be over our families, over our children, or every box that could exist in our thinking, in our mindsets, crippling mindsets and habits and strongholds that seek to restrain us. There is no box, no tomb, not death, nor hell that could hold him. Can someone say amen? God is the ultimate box breaker. There is nothing impossible for him to do. There is no limitation. There is no oppression that comes against you that he cannot break this morning. God has come to set you free, and God has come that you would live out that freedom for your life. Amen? Come on. Boom. We started the new year. He overcame so that we would live free in wide open spaces of his grace and his glory. In Judges chapter 6, verse 11, we read about Gideon. And I want to briefly look at some aspects of his story so that we can gain some keys to take in to this new year and leave behind the things that have held us back from living in the wide open spaces of God, so that we can experience the suddenlies of God for our lives. Judges chapter 6 verse 11 says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' And so he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" You know, as Gideon was in the wine press, God saw him. God saw him and had a plan for Gideon to bring him out of captivity and into freedom. He had a plan. God had a plan for his people that he would bring them out from under the oppressive poverty, a place of poverty that they were under, and into the blessing of God and the provision of God. And so God wanted to bring Gideon into his salvation plan. I love that God wants to include you and I in the salvation plan. He could do it all by himself. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to mess things up. But he chooses to include you and I in the salvation plan. Not just our salvation plan, but those who we talk to, those who we reach, those who we tell the good news to. God wants to include you in that plan of salvation. And so he was stuck in this wine press, in this hidden place. You know, he says he's the weakest and the least, and he's hidden in a confined space. But God wants to bring him out so that he can live wide open. I don't know whether you feel this morning like you've been stuck in that confined space, stuck in those restrictions, and in that limited place where the walls feel like they're closing all around you. But I want to tell you today that God sees you. You might feel like you're hopeless in that broken relationship. Maybe you're hemmed in by debt and finances that just consume every day you wake up to that same financial problem. Maybe you're trapped in an addiction, or maybe you can identify as being the least. You know, there is no one that God won't use. In fact, his specialty is to use the least. His specialty is to use the unlikely. Amen? You don't have to stay stuck in that place of limitation. But if you've got the faith to rise up today and say, "I'm leaving this box of limitation. I'm leaving this box of poverty. I'm leaving this box of lack. No more. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter. I'm a son of the Most High God. And I'm not going to stay in this box of confinement." I mean, if you've got the faith to rise up and say that, and lay hold of your freedom, we've got to understand that living wide open comes with the ultimate life in God and all of its fullness. Living wide open comes, and it might sound obvious, but it comes with a relationship with God. It's not just enough to know of God. It's not just enough to know about him. It's not just to know that, hey, mum and dad know about him, or my family members know about him, and lean on their, you know, relationship and their knowledge of God. It's not enough. God wants to know you. He wants to be known by you today. God wants to know you. And so it begins with a relationship with God. We look at verse 11 and 12, and it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree while Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress." I love that verse 11 is in this story. It didn't have to be. I love that God puts it in there as extra details for us. He could have gone straight to verse 12, where it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him." He could have appeared to Gideon. He could have given him the message in the wine press and then departed. And that would be understandable, because Don't you think that God had heard the cries of the Israelites? Don't you think that he'd heard the cries of Gideon's heart when, you know, he's trying to hide so that they can make food? Don't you think he doesn't know their situation? Doesn't he know the need? I love that verse 11 is then there, because it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree." You know what? God wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. He doesn't just want to be the God that hands out, you know, the solution or the provision for our lives. Yes, he does that. He provides for all of our lives. And yes, we should ask him and we should bring our needs before him, which he knows already. But he doesn't just want to be the God who just hands out. He wants to be the God that is with you. He wants to be Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to be the God that comes and sits and spends time with us, as well as us spending time with him. And so he comes to him, and it's a beautiful picture of intimacy, of relationship that God wants with us. And he comes and he sees Gideon threshing the wheat in the wine press by hand. And he affirms Gideon. He encourages him. He places value and worth on him by saying, "I am with you, mighty man of valor." This is not a throwaway phrase. This is not, "Hey, champion, how you doing?" It's not that. It's not a throwaway thing. He comes and he speaks words of life. He says, "I see you, mighty man of strength and ability and substance and efficiency. I see how good you are. I see how hard you're working." You know, God loves us. God loves us. I know we know this, but sometimes we need to get a fresh revelation that God loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God actually loves you." He not only sees all you do, you know, he sees you as parents providing for your children. He sees your hard work. He sees your long hours. He sees the dedication and the commitment. He sees your heart and your tenacity. He's interested in the very details of your life. But can I encourage you this year, in this new year, bring God in to your work. Bring God in to your studies. Bring God in to the plans as you make plans and decisions and choices for your business. Bring God into that. Bring God into that place. Let him come and sit. Let him come and sit and speak with him and get the knowledge and the wisdom and the revelation and the understanding that you need in order to move forward. And just as God affirms Gideon, we need to know that our value is determined by him and him alone. Your worth is found in him. Your worth is not determined by what family you're from. It's not found in how much money you have. It's not found in how much you've acquired, what friends you do or you don't have. Your value is not in what you know, your title, your accomplishments, your successes, but by who he says you are, who he says you are, and what he thinks of you. That's where we find our worth. You know, David says in Psalms chapter 18, he says, "He reached down from on high and he took hold of me. He drew me up out of deep waters and he rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support." And he says this line, "He brought me out into a broad place. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me." Why? Because he delighted in me. Church, today he delights in you. You need to know he delights in you. He doesn't just like you, he loves you so completely. How vast, how immeasurable is his love for us. How amazing, how limitless is our God today. I mean, the best place that you can position yourself this year is in his presence. Staying in his presence, in the word, in the gathering like you're doing today of church family, position yourself, position your children, position your family in the house of God and let God delight in you. Point number three, wide open spaces begins by changing our language. You know, from the place where Gideon first speaks to God and through his relationship and the conversation that he has with God, Gideon's language changes. At the start, he sees God only through the eyes of others. And he says things like, where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? These are the generational stories that are passed down. He doesn't know them for himself. He's just been listening to someone else's experience of God. He knows about God. He knows of God. But he hasn't seen God for himself. And so he says, you know, this is what our fathers told us. And he says, in verse 15, he said, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I'm the least. His speech, Gideon might have been found in the wine press, but his language locates him. And it says that the wine press was actually in Gideon. Yes, Gideon was in the wine press, in his location, but the wine press mentality, the finite was in his thinking. He was limited. He was small in his thinking. And so the wine press is actually in him. He talks defeated and he talks hopelessness. He has no plan for the future. He thinks all is lost. But as he begins to speak with God, as he begins to converse with God and he hears God's thoughts for him, his language begins to change. And in verse 15, he starts to speak victoriously to the 300 army, the 300 men that had gathered to fight with him. And this is a different Gideon. This is not the same Gideon as before. The original Gideon was defeated. He was small thinking. But this Gideon, he says, arise, men, arise, guys, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. This is not the same man. His language had changed. He goes from saying that he's the least from the weakest clan, and he says to the 300 army, he says, look at me, boys, and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you do as I do. This is a confident Gideon. This is a Gideon who's been affirmed by God. I mean, he's found his worth in God now. He's found his value in God now. He's not the same man as he was before. No, his language is locating him in a different way. His language, his speech is different now, and he's bigger, and he's got vision now. You know, the words we declare over our lives in this year, the way we talk to our children, the way we speak over our children, the way we talk to one another, the encouragement we choose to give or to withhold, the way we're generous with our words. You know, if we want God to move in our lives, we will invite him to move through our language. We will invite him to move through our words. We will either speak life, words of life. We will declare life. We will declare wholeness. We will declare words of faith and God will move. Yeah? We need to be declaring words of life over our all that is ours, our families, our business. Declare words of life. Declare words of promise. Speak God's word over your situation. Speak God's word over what you're believing for this morning. The way to get free of the box of limitation is for our minds to be renewed. Romans chapter 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the letterbox. Don't let the letterbox conform you. Don't let it restrict you. Don't let it hold you in. But it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God for your life. Amen. Living wide open needs to be practical. It's got to be practical for you and I to outwork it. And it needs to have action. And we have a great opportunity before us because each year we read through the Bible together. And if you haven't started already this year, it's not too late. You can jump on our website and follow the link there and stay in the Word of God for your life. Because God wants to fill your mouth. He wants to fill your heart. He wants to fill your life in this wide open spaces. You know, Psalm chapter 81, verse 10, it says, for it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. And he says this, open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things. What a great promise from God. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things. God wants to fill your life, your mouth, with good things. We need to be in His Word. And point number three, God sends. If we're going to live in the wide open spaces, we need to remember that God sends us forth. In Judges chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.' And he says, 'Have I not sent you?'" Have I? He says, I have sent you. I am. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I am your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am sending you forth. And when I send you forth, I don't send you alone, but I will be with you. I will go before you. And I have everything covered. I have all that you need. As you go out, I have everything that you need. You will not be without, for I am with you. When He sends us, He is with us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore.'" See, He's sending us. He's sending you and I. I love that we're in chapter 3 of Enjoy Church, because we are being sent forth. We are being sent forth to the corners, to all corners of the globe. I mean, I'm not saying that because I know where we're going next. I don't know. But you know what? I don't need to know. I know that God is sending us and that He's going to be with us, and He calls us to go and make disciples. We need to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. He sends us, but He's with us always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that awesome this morning? Isn't that awesome? Can you give God a hand? So as I come to a close this morning, on this very first day of 2019, first Sunday, sorry, of 2019, make it your decision to live wide open, to live wide open in the spacious place, into the broad place that God has called you to live in. I'm believing that this year for you and your family will be your best year yet. And in order for it to be your best, we need to leave the boxes of limitation behind in order that we would live wide open with God. In fact, don't just leave the box behind. Blow it up. Blow it up. Put a Holy Ghost stick of dynamite in that letterbox and blow the thing up. Don't hand it on to your family. Don't hand it on to your children's children. Don't hand it on to the generations to come. Blow the letterbox up. Amen? And walk out freedom. Walk out freedom, not just for you, but for those who are to come behind you. Lead the way this morning. Amen? I wonder if this morning you're tired of defending. I wonder if you're like that little fish. Tired of defending, you know, having to stay all the time in the limitations and the confinement. I wonder if you're trying to maintain a little sense of freedom. I wonder if you're tired of the box. Because if you're tired of the box, it's time today for you to leave that box behind. In fact, for you and all of yours, leave the box and instead take up God's offer of freedom. I like that Paul says in that verse that we read, he says, "Stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again." It means that we've got to keep our freedom, to stay in freedom. It means that sometimes we have a tendency to go back. Sometimes we have a tendency to go back to the box. But God is calling you to come out of the box of limitation. He's calling you out of the box of confinement. And He says, live in my freedom. So today on this first Sunday of 2019, decide that you're going to run your race. Decide that you're going to run through the wide open spaces and places and discover the adventure that God has put before you. You were never created to live in limitation. You were never created to live in lack. You were never created to live in those places of confinement, but you have been designed, however, by a creator who is limitless. His love, his plans for you are innumerable. His love is so vast, immeasurable, and endless. Amen? Towards you. So this morning, if you're leaving behind a box, I want you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you say, you know what, I've been living in that. I've been living in that place of restriction and I'm going to bust out. I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to do this year of 2019 in the box. I want to do it out of the box this year. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Lord, I thank you for every hand. I want to thank you for every heart and every situation that you know, Lord God, the restriction and the limitation that has been upon your people. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would lead them out. You would lead them into freedom, Lord God. I pray that you would intervene into those situations. I pray that you would bring breakthrough, Lord God. I declare that 2019 over your people, Lord God, would be boundless, full of your provision, full of your grace, full of your adventure, Lord God, that they would roam through the wide open spaces of your plans and your purposes for their life. Lord, I pray, bless your people right now. Bless them, bless their families, Lord God. Bless them in this new year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.